quite a young lad, the Beatles burst onto the scene with All You Need Is Love. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. And recent media and social campaigns also have led with the love sign. Love wins, we were told. And love is all that matters. So is this the case? Is love all that you need? Well, we come today to a passage from 1 John that goes deeper than such surface-type pop culture would say. And we come to 1 John and it gives us a far clearer picture of really what love looks like. And it's love from a very different perspective than the world seems to talk about. Very different from the self-serving love claims of our culture. We're going to come now to a passage and we're going to have Mandy read it and we're going to invite you to share together in this passage as well.
Okay, let's read together. 1 John 3, 11 to 18. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth.
And God always blesses the reading of his word. We're in a series, a wider series called Love Changes Everything. And we've been wanting to look at what actually that love looks like, and that's where we are coming to now. And so our sub-theme is this, a love like this. And this part of the series is so essential because it's not any sort of love that changes things, but only a love like this. And that is a love that God designed and God defines. A love like this. And so far in the wider series that you have been going through, we've learned that there are some first order things that need to be put into place if you're going to be an instrument of change. And that is that you need to remain and abide in Christ. For there you receive nurture. There you foster your relationship with God and you grow in the sense of his presence. That's the first order thing. And as we abide in Christ and we bathe in the amazing wonder of his love for us when we didn't deserve it, then we have a wonderful sense of what all that's about. In some of the online responses to recent sermons, people have shared how they've had a growing sense of this life with God and a growing beauty of the wonder of knowing that he loves them so much. And we want to celebrate that. For without such a foundation, there's no basis from which then to look at what love really means. It must be, remain in me and I in you. It must be abiding in Christ. But we need to move past that now into the shoe leather part. And this series, therefore, is called Love Like This. And Selwyn Hughes, a devotional writer, used to say every Bible should be covered in shoe leather. And he was stressing the point that we are not meant to stay on the mountain with God, only to bathe in the sun and get a great sense of his love for us. No, we are meant to not only grow, but to go. And if we only grow and bathe in the sense of his love for us and never go, then we can start to question this whole sense of being on mission for God. And we are meant to go with love because that's a love that changes things. a love that God designs and God defines. And if we're not going with that love, then who is? And so we need to address the core question, what does this love look like? Well, to discover that, we need to first grasp a very clear pattern that in God's dealing with humanity, everything God does for us and in us isn't just about us. Rather, it's about others. You see, God has this awesome intention to restore everything under Jesus Christ. And amazingly, he's called us into this love mission that we might extend this love and demonstrate this love and declare this love to a broken world. And this is why our series now, Love Like This, is so crucial, because it's not any kind of love, but a love about being on mission as his disciple. And in our passage today that we read, this kind of love is demonstrated. And what John provides for us is a very clear sign, a very clear measure of whether someone is or is not a true follower of Jesus Christ. And according to John, there is a vital sign of spiritual life. In fact, he points out this vital sign quite a few times by saying, in this you will know it, by this you will know it. Over and over in this chapter and in the next chapter, we see in this, by this. We could call this an in this book, because it's trying to show us it's a certain type of love. And by this sign you will know, you will see a spiritual heartbeat. Just as vividly as in the physical body, there's a physical pulse and a physical heartbeat. And the key vital sign of life that John highlights here is love in action. Love for one another. That's what it means by the brothers and sisters. Love for one another. Love in the community of faith, but by extension, what did Jesus say was the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbour as yourself. So by extension, this love that we have for one another, by which the world looks upon us and sees that we are Christians, if it doesn't go out to that great command to love others, then it is simply empty. And we notice that John does not say the vital sign of spiritual life is how amazing our own experience of God's love is, as amazing that is, nor how much self-edification we get from being in God's presence, as amazing as that is. Rather, the clearest measure of spiritual life being heart-beating is how much you love other people. That's the vital sign of love. It's not inward, it is outward. It is something that extends beyond us to others, a life that is a response. And to explain this vital sign more, John contrasts two groups. There are those who do know God and remain in him, and then there are these here who do not know God and do not remain in him. And he says, look at those two groups. You're going to see very clearly whether there is spiritual life as you look at these two groups of people. You will easily measure whether there's a spiritual heartbeat or not. It is by this, you will know. I'm going to pause for a moment and ask you, as you look at your life right now, and as you look at your bathing in Christ and your abiding in him, are you seeing some signs of shoe leather on your word? As you come to the word and sit in that space and kneel in prayer, do you also feel the compulsion to get up and to walk in the way of the word? And as you come to worship and exalt God and lift your hands and your hearts to him, are you also feeling that compulsion to go from that place and to serve by loving others who are in need? Not like the priest and the others who walked past the man on the side of the road, but like the Good Samaritan who reached in and put his hand in the place of danger. Is there any love that you are actually expressing within and without? It's a vital sign of life. You see, in John's day, there were these loudmouth claims by some within the vicinity of the faith community that they loved God, and yet there was no spiritual pulse at all in their lives. John was dealing with false followers of Jesus, false teaching known as Docetism. And that's a strange-sounding word, but it's also a strange-sounding doctrine. It's sort of birthed in the early Gnosticism, those people who thought they had this elevated knowledge. And Docetism was a strand of that. And it was infiltrating the local church. Some of the people in the local church were following this doctrine. And John is saying, look, they're all shiny and white on the outside, look beautiful, a bit like a headstone on a grave, but underneath it's all rotting. There's no life. But in contrast, there are those in Christ who are abiding in him who have life. And how do we see that? By their love in action. And that's what John is stressing here. There will be evidence, a measure of spiritual life. And also, this is not just a matter of claiming it like the false teachers were doing, saying, I love God, I'm a follower. There needs to be a sign. Our physical bodies show the state of being alive by whether I can feel a pulse or not. And so too, we cannot just claim to have spiritual life and gather as the social meeting of the saints and say, I've got life. And then walk out and have no regard for anyone else? It doesn't add up. There must be a spiritual heartbeat to demonstrate real life. It is certainly true the more we look after and nurture our physical bodies and give them the right sort of food and care, the more the vital signs of life will show up. And so too as we nurture our spiritual life, feed it on the word and worship, then we're going to see the sign of way come out more and more, love in action to others. Now, I want us to be very clear as we come to this passage today that when John says, if you do not have this sign, and then points to the grave consequences, when he says that, he's not trying to make you suddenly doubt or fear your salvation. Please be clear about that. He's not meaning to suggest that if you fail to show love to somebody, then you're on tenuous ground. Your salvation might be ripped away. No, we already know we're not saved by our works or how much effort we put into doing good. We're saved only by what Jesus did on the cross for us. No, John's simple point is that it should be unthinkable, virtually impossible, if you are a follower of Jesus, for love not to show out. It's all aligned. It's all one and the same. You say you're a follower of Jesus, then you're showing love. You can't be one without the other. And so his hard-hitting statements are not foremostly taking a ping at you because you failed to show a little bit of love somewhere. It's not that at all. Rather, he's taking direct aim at these false teachers who make a lot of noise, a lot of claims, but whose lives show nothing. In fact, they show hate and lack of care for the brothers and sisters in the community of faith. So John is saying, that's not you. It's almost impossible to think that could be you. You're the ones abiding in Christ. You're the ones following his command. Therefore, you're showing love, aren't you? It's the result of abiding in Christ. And how do we prove it? By how the world sees that we're followers. Oh, how they love one another. And how they extend that love to people in Afghanistan. How come Baptist World Aid are going into the most difficult places and demonstrating love? That's how we know there's a real sign of life. And if perchance you detect in your life right now that there isn't that demonstration of love, then radically challenge your fellowship. Radically challenge whether you are just sitting in the word and worship rather than in the way. because one does not go without the other. So in sum, John is really teaching here about what true believers look like, and he's contrasting it to those who are all loud mouths but are showing nothing in their life. Simply, the vital sign of life is that you love others, unlike those who hate their brother and don't give a hoot. So let's come now and just have a little look for a few moments at this passage and a few more aspects of it. Love one another, it begins, for this is the message you've heard from the beginning. Now, notice here, this is not a new message. It's not as if I'm coming today and presenting anything new to you. This is a message that goes right back to the very creation. For God loved the world and extended his love to this world by creating it. And he walked in the garden with Adam and Eve and expressed an intimate relationship with them in love. And then when they turned their back on him, he sent his own son into the world, here in his love. So this love is not a new thing. This love has been taught to these people from the very beginning. It's bedrock faith stuff. And so if you're not expressing love to others, you haven't got hold of the first principles of faith that goes right back to the very beginning, that we should love one another, as verse 11 says. Now, then this is contrasted, that you don't want to be like Cain. And so here again we see the reference back to the origins, back to the beginning. This is not a new message. You know, Cain hated his brother and murdered him. And so this relationship back to Cain demonstrates that this is not the way to go. This is not the created order that God wanted. He wanted us to love one another. And those who are in Christ demonstrate that love. And you notice then in verse 14, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. There it is, the vital sign of life. How do you know, how do you have confidence that you've passed from death to life, having confessed in Jesus? You know it because you love the brothers. How are you going? How are you going in that? Whoever does not love abides in death, and everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know no murderer has life abiding in them. Again, he's not really saying that you are outside of faith. He's going to point in a moment to the Docetism teaching. But there's a contrast. You can't say you have love if you're not with God, and you can't not love if you are with God. It all goes together. Notice verse 16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. Again, it's not any sort of love. It has definition and design. In this we know love, says 16, because he laid down his life for others. And notice what it says next, and we ought to also lay down our lives for our brothers. There is the vital sign of life. It's not any sort of love. This is not the love that the Beatles sang about. This is a self-sacrificing love. A love that extends beyond the feelings of affection and intimacy. It's not that sort of love at all. It's a love arising out of who we are in God and what he's done in the cross of Jesus Christ. We ought to also lay down our love. And look at verse 17. If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how ever does God's love abide in him? If we walk out of here today and hug each other, no, we can't. If we walk out of here today and pass each other a little holy kiss and then go outside and there's someone in need and we walk past, how can we say it was worth being in here today? The vital sign of life doesn't show up. And we're just like the Gnostics who just said, oh, it doesn't matter. It's all in the head. It's all in the spirit. Go on a little further. But little children, verse 18, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. And that's why I was saying before, you can come to the word, You can come today to worship, you can come and delight in God, but don't just do it there. It doesn't stop there. Don't just love God in word and type of attitude or place and presence, but love God in action, in walk and in way. Otherwise, where is the vital sign of life? And then look at verse 23. Verse 23, this is because of the commandment that we believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. You see, this love is an obedience to the command of Christ, the great command to love God and love others. And by this we know that we're of the truth. Now, we know we are of the truth because, as verse 18 said, we loved in deed, not just in word. So you see the emphasis coming through here? It is, there is a vital sign of life. Now let's come to look at what was going on. John goes on in 1 John 4 to say, test the spirits. And now he's starting to push into these false teachers and starting to say, be aware of them. I've laid out for you all of this that love is and what love is not. Now we're going to come to the example of this sort of wrong love. Beloved, in verse 1, let us not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God. You see, there is a false love. The Beatles, she loves you, yeah, 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 love is all you need, love wins campaign, all of that is a false type of love. It is not the love that God calls us to. But by this you know the Spirit of God. Look at verse 2. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. So now John is talking about the Gnostics and the Docetism teaching. He is saying these people, the people who teach this, are saying Jesus didn't really come in the flesh. All he did was appear to be a man. All he did was adopt a ghost-like sort of figure, a bit like that picture Ghost, you know, where you saw the outline of the... That's what it was like. It wasn't real flesh. And why did they say that? Because the Gnostics believe that all of the material world was evil, and including the flesh. There's no resurrection. The body, the matter is evil. It doesn't matter what happens in the body. You can practice anything in the body, doesn't matter. And so that led to unrighteous, sinful practices. And they're saying all that matters is that you're believing in the head, all spirit, all doctrine, no doing. And these people, these false teachers, had no hoot of a care for an older person in a residential care facility. They didn't care about those who were sick because that's just the body after all. And so John was countering this attitude and saying, if you are like that, you're simply like the beautiful bit on the outside of the tombstone, but down below it is rotting. That's not what God has called us to. No care, no restraint, do anything in the body, just live in the spirit. That's the sort of attitude that these false teachers had. And John says you can see it in the fruit of their lives. And he's saying, don't get sucked in, test the spirits. Test that and see whether it is of God. If they say Jesus only appeared to be a man, then that is false and you need to reject it. So that's what John is getting at. He's saying this is the spirit of the very Antichrist. Don't have anything to do with it. It's evil. And then we notice in verse 7, beloved, let us love, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God. Notice that again, a vital sign of life. Whoever loves has been born of God, and anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Friends, if you say that you are a follower of God and God dwells in your heart, you cannot help but love in practice. Why? Because God is love, and his love is in your heart. How can you not? And so John's word is a very sobering word, a very clear word, and we need to take it on board. And then we see a number of things from there on, verse 9, 10, 11, 13. In this, love like this, in this is the love of God, in that he sent his son into the world. So it's a sending type love. It's a self-releasing love. It's a giving out love that we're talking about here. In this is love, not that we love God, verse 10, but that he loved us. So this sort of love is a love that doesn't do something because you love me. It does it even when you didn't love me. So it extends out to others. It's not based on your love for me. It's a giving love. It gives first. And beloved, if God so loved us like that, we ought to love one another, verse 11. And by this, we ought to love one another. And by this, you will know it all the way through. By this, verse 17, it's not there, says, love will be perfected in us. Now, notice verse 11 there. Verse 11 says, go back one. Yeah. Okay. By this we know the love of God, in that he gave his love towards us. Now, it says no one has ever seen God. Now, that is so true, isn't it? No one has ever seen God. And therefore, the only way people are going to see God is if they see you showing the love of God. I mean, we are the manifestation of God in the world today. We are the blood and flesh. We are the incarnate Christ in the world today. And John was saying to them, no one has ever seen God, therefore if they have not seen God, how do they see him? It is only through us as we love. And so we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. And John wraps it up by saying, so, if anyone says, I love God but hates his brother, he's a liar. And that's the Gnostics. But he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So love is the key. Love to others, love in action. And all goes back to Cain, the Gnostics, but your love all goes back to Christ. So what kind of love is this, as I sum up? It's a love that is ordained in God from the very beginning. It is a love that is a defined love, not any sort of love. It's a love that is a reflection of God's character. Gives first, loves first, is self-sacrificing, reaches into the needs of others, seeks restoration above all things, and follows righteousness. Compared with the world's love, there's no comparison. This is the love of God. Can we actually do it? Can we? Well, in terms of a past statement, yes, we can. Yes, we can. Why? Because you're not doing it at all. Notice it's as you abide in Christ, as you dwell in him, as you obey his commandments. It's nothing to do with feeling, nothing to do with affection. It is as you abide in him and follow his commands, his life and his love comes out through you and works in the application area. It's not you at all. It's his life in you. That's why this series is saying abide in Christ, because there you get nourished for this sort of spiritual life. But you must not just get stuck in the nourishment. You must then walk and exercise the energy that is now in you, the life of Christ that is in you. What can you do right now in order to demonstrate this vital sign of life? Let us bow in prayer. As we're quietly thinking at the moment, I just want to ask that question again. What is it that you can do right now to love this way? To allow the love of God in you to be released It's going to take an action of some sort. It's going to take some obedience, some awareness of the command of Christ upon your life. Is there someone that you need to forgive this morning because you're bearing a grudge against your brother or your sister? Do you need to release some resentment and attitude against someone? Friends, it's a vital sign of life. Don't let it go. And if you can't do it yourself, then you've got the first base of saying, here's the answer. It's not me, it's Jesus doing it through me as I abide in his life. I'm sure there's someone here today where this is a pertinent message, where John's word is reaching right into your heart at this moment. And I'm going to encourage you to take a step on that. Speak to one of the pastors. As you go out today, think about what action can I take. Start to measure whether you see any signs of this life. I close with this unknown statement from some author. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely point the way. The eye is a better pupil and much sharper than the ear. Your fine counsel can confuse me, but your example's always clear. The lectures you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lesson from observing what you do.